Welcome to Solo Cleaning School. Are you ready to reshape your mindset and grow your solo cleaning business? Step into today's class with your guide, Ken Carfagno, so you can win for your family.
I am so excited to be with you here today to launch the Solo Cleaning School podcast. Thank you. From the bottom of my heart, I am very grateful for the time that you are giving me right now. Whether you are listening while you are cleaning a bathroom, you might be in your car on the way to work. Maybe you are a mom taking care of the kids and you're listening to this on your earbuds while you're in the kitchen working or taking care of your children. Or maybe you are doing something completely different than all of that and you're still lending me your time, and I do not take that lightly. So again, welcome to Solo Cleaning School. Let's start out by telling you about this school, what it is, what it isn't. I'd also like to share with you my own personal story as a solo cleaner for 14 years. And finally, I'll wrap up this introductory show with the vision that I have. Why am I doing this? And who do I hope to make a change for in this world? Let's talk about the structure of this school. There are so many things you could be listening to. There's amazing audiobooks. There's music. There's, gosh, I believe the last number I heard was over 700,000 active podcasts out there on Apple iTunes, Stitcher, and Google. So this is just one more in a mix of hundreds of thousands. So I want to acknowledge you for being here right now, listening to this show, checking out solo cleaning as a potential option for you, or if you're already in the field doing this, something to build you up, to encourage you, to grow you stronger in your business. I recently surveyed over 100 solo cleaners from around the country, and I asked them this simple question: what is your number one struggle? I wanted to address each of these struggles, and I can just share. Number one was time management. Solo cleaners are struggling with time. They have to do every part of the business themselves. Money management. Basics of cleaning and how to not waste their time. Exhaustion. Keep their motivation while they're working day after day after day with seemingly no reward in the near term. It's a thankless job many times. I took those struggles and I built a system. 2 episodes per week, 15 to 20 minutes per show. Bite-sized snacks. Solo cleaners are very time crunched, and a 15 to 20 minute track of free time to listen to something without being interrupted is not easy. So I highly value the fact that you are right now listening to my voice. So I appreciate that. I do not want to have fluff on here. I want to deliver content to you that will make a difference in your life and in your family. I'm going to have some funny stories. Oh my goodness, the things that happen in cleaning, they can just get flat out ridiculous. We're in people's homes, and you just never know what you're going to have happen when you clean someone's home. There are some interesting people out there. So I will be bringing solo cleaners and spotlighting them. People from all backgrounds. Cleaning for all different reasons and for all different durations of time. And so that'll be a great balance to hear the tips that I bring, the spotlights from others doing it. You'll start to really gain a community perspective. Although you might feel alone doing this, you don't have to be alone anymore. I sincerely hope the Solo Cleaning School can be a part of your growth as you strive for your goals. So that covers some of the structure of how I want to deliver this content to you on a twice per week basis and bring to you these tips and strategies and spotlights. I'll also toss in there some lessons learned from the field, like what am I doing today in my solo cleaning business. This Solo Cleaning School podcast is a resource. When you go to a school, the school itself is just a building, right? And they give you textbooks and homework. I'm going to be doing the same thing. I'm going to be recommending books. I'm going to be assigning you work here and there to go do something. You can go and acquire anything you need, any skill that you want to acquire. You can go get it for free. But the problem that I've seen, at least being a coach for the last couple of years, it's not the information that's a problem, because people can get the information. The problem is that they collect. They're trade junkies. And they collect and they collect and they collect the information. And they add them to their bookshelf. but they never implement. And a great example of that is me. It is not easy because you feel like you hear something of value and you just want to store it in your notes and you want to apply it and you have the heart and desire to apply it, but then something comes up and you don't. I want to hold you accountable. So we will have some homework, some recommended reading. I'll be your guide. I am so thankful that you have selected this show to help you along your journey. All right, let me tell you my personal story now and why am I doing this show. My wife Therese and I have been married for going on 17 years. We have 5 amazing kids aging from 2 up to 14. I mean, it's amazing being a parent. It's amazing to have the opportunity to raise people up and to mentor them. I just so enjoy the time we get to spend with our family. I just am beside myself just to see the amazing gifts that God has given me and my family. We are just so blessed and humbled by what we get to do. And we've always felt that way, although times have been really challenging. And so let me start here. Both my wife and I grew up here. We met each other at the Jersey Shore. She asked me what time it was one morning on the beach, and I reluctantly answered because I was a moron. That's why I reluctantly answered. But I quickly regained my senses, and we started dating shortly after. In May of 2000, Teresa and I took a wonderful trip to Europe. I had just finished graduating from Penn State University with a bachelor's of mechanical engineering, and I had the world at my tail. I was arrogant as well. But we went to Europe and did 30 days Eurorail and backpacking and seeing the country, all the countries. It was so wonderful. Get back. We moved from the Philadelphia area down to Greenville, South Carolina. And it was a life-changing experience. Always being in one part of the country and then suddenly leaving and not having parents nearby. That was pretty cool in many ways, but we also missed our family a lot. You know, but I just dug my head in the work because I was pouring into GE. 50 plus hours just during work and then going for a master's degree in mechanical engineering on the side. My side hustle was a master's degree and that was another 50 hours. It was not easy, but yet I did it. You fast forward a year, I was all in as an engineer. I was pouring my time, my blood, sweat, and tears into this. But because I was recruited as an Edison engineer, I was a leadership track. And so I got to experience a lot of things that the regular, you know, direct hire didn't get to experience. I got to meet the leadership. I mean, gosh, I met Jack Welch in my first month on the job when the board had their meeting at our facility. I got to meet the entire board of directors of GE as a 23-year-old kid. And it was really cool. I felt so important. And that just added to my arrogance. Really did. And I poured into GE for that first year and a half, gained stock options, rising star. People wanted to have me a part of their team. But something happened. 9/11 was when the first domino fell. And when 9/11 happened, I remember sitting at my desk. I saw those planes crashing into those buildings only a few hours away from where I grew up. And here I am all these hours away. And I thought, why am I so far from my family? That was the first thing. A couple weeks later, I saw this movie, The Family Man, with Nicolas Cage. And that really wrecked me. I mean, it showed me two different people, like completely different lives. The corporate Nicolas Cage and the family man Nicolas Cage. And it brought me back to the things that were always important to me. You see, I'm the oldest of 6. And I had little baby brothers and sisters. And I miss them tremendously. And we wanted to have a family one day. So these were things that started to be on my mind. You know, the second domino kind of fell. And then within a few weeks of this, I'm in a lunch and learn with one of my senior VPs of engineering, a guy that I worshipped, idol worshipped. I wanted to be him. And he shared something with us that I am eternally grateful that he did. Someone asked him a question. What is your personal life like? Your job sounds amazing. All the perks, the money, the responsibility. It sounds amazing, but tell me about your personal life. Everyone audibly gasped to hear what he would say because he was kind of an imposing figure, intimidating, very intimidating. And he just slumped his shoulders and he just said this. He said, you know what? If you want to have my job, you won't have a personal life. He said, I live here in Greenville, South Carolina. And my wife lives in Atlanta. So when I heard him and his wife live 2.5 hours away from each other, I was absolutely floored. And it was like an arrow struck me in the heart and ripped out the dream that I had to be an engineer. I didn't want that life any longer. You know, when you start looking for a car, you start seeing that car everywhere. I felt like I started seeing that problem everywhere I went. I started seeing lifestyles and marriages, and I started noticing things I didn't really want in my life, and I just changed. 1 year from that heart change, we were out of South Carolina. We were engaged. We were in upstate New York. Why? Because that was the closest that I could get to our hometown of the Philadelphia area within my GE options. But I knew I had to get out of South Carolina. So we're in upstate New York. It was a temporary situation with the promise, Teresa, that we will only be up here for 2 years, get things figured out, and then we'll go back, hopefully, to our hometown. We're now running a business on the side. I'm still a GE. We're newly married. You go ahead another year, still a GE, and now we have two side businesses. It's crazy. Now we're not making much money in either of them, but yet we're still doing them. See, we had this desire, and we always wanted to have our own company. Having my heart ripped out of me like it was, I mean, I knew I wanted some kind of a change. And here it is in 2005, July 2005. My wife's outside with our firstborn son, Kenny. He's, 8 months old, and she's holding him on the balcony. And Brett from our apartment complex, he's the property manager, walks up, and he's just, kind of like that. And my wife says, Brett, what's wrong? And he just looks up, and he says, our cleaner. They didn't show up again, and then the last time they were there, they didn't do a good job, and he just stopped. He looked up at her and said, Teresa, do you clean? Because you'd probably be much better than the ones we have. She says, no, but my husband does. And he says, oh, really? How would you like to get yourself some insurance and help around the apartments? I'll give you some work. I'll feed you some apartment units a few a month, and you can make some extra money. She said, sounds pretty good. Let me check with my husband. And sure enough, she starts a little business. A third one. So now we have three part-time businesses. This one's called Carfagno Cleaning. Very original name. She takes our last name, adds cleaning to it, and voila. She got some insurance, and she got a vacuum cleaner, $50 backpack vac. She got some supplies, and she had a little guy on her back. You know, little Kenny was literally on an ergo carrier on her back while she cleaned apartments. And there's things she couldn't do, so she just waited till I go home from work. She said, Ken, I couldn't quite finish this one and that. Can you go over to the apartment unit, 73 and finish that? I'm like, yes, sure, honey, I'll do it. I mean, it was money. I wasn't going to turn it down. And we did that. July, August, September, October. I was still working at GE. Now, truth be told, my performance at GE had completely gone into the tube. I was there physically, but I was not there emotionally or mentally. This business was a godsend, literally, because the end of October, I got fired from my job. It was something I should have seen coming, and I didn't, because I was arrogant and overly optimistic. So when someone said, you're not going to be here any longer, I said, I'm sure you don't mean that. What do you need me to fix this time? I was total moron. And there's a lesson in this. I wasn't honoring the gift of the job that I had, and I was focusing on other ventures because the job was making X amount of dollars, and we were spending every single one of them and about three more. So imagine late 2005, pink slip, no job, no income, side businesses that make about $500 total for a month, and you've got a debt of $170,000. Oh, and your family members, they're 5+ hours away. Wonderful. I wish I could say that was rock bottom, but it did get worse. It did. But we had no choice, and so Carfagno Cleaning was birthed. 2005. She started it, and I took it over in late 2005, 2006. I was full-time, no longer an engineer. And the first big break came when that same Brett from the apartment complex was very happy with our work, and he gave our information to his friend, and his friend was a realtor at Coldwell Banker, and somehow that all got across the desk of a Joanne, and Joanne was running a program called the Coldwell Banker Concierge Division, Concierge Service, where they had a list of preferred vendors, and they kept three cleaners. Their third one just left, and they needed a third one to fill it. My information just slid across their desk somehow. So that right there was a miracle. I got a phone call. Hey, Ken, this is Joanne, Coldwell Banker. Saw that you're, a mechanical engineer. You have a cleaning company. Would you be interested in coming for an interview? I said, absolutely. And she says, are you still working at engineer? I said, no, I am free to clean as much as I need to. She says, great, come on in for an interview. This is in February 2006. So I still had to fill some time. I remember my Philadelphia Eagles were in the Super Bowl that year against the Patriots, and they got blown out. Well, it wasn't a blowout, but you know, whatever. They lost. Breaking the news to my family, and you know, I didn't even tell Teresa I was fired for about 3 days. They're breaking the news to everyone that, hey, all that stuff of me being an engineer for the last 6 years, that's over. I am now a cleaner. People just looked at me like something was off, that I might need some therapy. The truth was, we just needed some money. Therapy was going to probably cost too much anyway. We just needed some money. And cleaning was the shortest route to us getting some money. So I just started working my guts out, taking every opportunity I could. Apartment cleaning. Brett sent me to another guy that got me some more apartments. I just did whatever I could, make some money, pull something in. The debt was overwhelming, but we had to pay our rent. And so the first year, I'm just going to speed up again. The first year was a humbling experience. Ended the year with maybe $30,000 in sales, and we kept maybe a third of that. Wasn't a lot of money. Really wasn't a lot of money. We barely survived. We had our car repoed that year. We moved into a much cheaper location. We just had to get real. We had to fix our budget. We had to come to terms with the fact that we can't just let this debt grow. We have to fix this. We have to stop spending more than we make. And that's something we had done for many years. We were irresponsible. My arrogance, my pride was crushed, and I was humbled. When you start cleaning for other people and seeing the stuff that you get to clean, that can humble you quick. And when you don't have the money to pay your bills and you've got 35 different creditors on your back trying to scrape money out of you when you don't even have enough to pay for food, that's really tough. And it was a low point, especially after the car was repoed. I hope you get the picture. That's where we were in 2006. I wasn't an engineer anymore. Those years of training, the great job, the potential of me being a leader, a manager, an executive at GE, gone. Now, I didn't miss it because I didn't like what I saw. And I also made the decision to not put my heart into the job that I have. It was a gift. I wish I would have done a better job at it. But those are choices and bad decisions I've made, and I live with those. There's a lot of regret that I have from this time in my life, but it's all a training ground. It really is. You know, we still had two side businesses. Neither of them were making any money. One was a bridal company. Another one was actually the Amway network marketing business. And I had a great time there. Teresa and I had mentors. They helped us. They coached us. We were reading books like crazy to grow our marriage, to grow our spiritual life, to grow our finances, to grow everything. We needed to work on things because we were at such a low point. And this cleaning business, we weren't sure if it was going to last, but we had to try our best. I'm going to use future episodes of this podcast to fill in the blanks between what happened in 2006 all the way to the present, because so many lessons were learned in my personal Carfagno Cleaning solo cleaning business that I would love to be able to share with you here in the Solo Cleaning School. So let's fast forward. It's 2014. I'm cleaning by myself, solo. I've been doing this for many years at this point. And the problem that I ran into, and many of you probably have as well, is that you've gotten pretty good at doing what you do, and you're super busy. Now, you don't have a team to hand over the work to, so you are the team. And so 2014, I found myself working like crazy. On the home front, been married now for 11 years. Things are going so well family-wise. Debt-wise, we had started the Dave Ramsey program not too long ago. We knocked off about $60,000-$70,000. Oh my goodness, it felt a lot lighter around the house. We had a budget in place. We were being fiscally responsible. We weren't doing things out of our budget. We were being responsible, finally. You know, and we spent a little bit. We got to do some stuff with the kid. You know, at this point, gosh, we had four kids. Kai was only a year old, and Casey was still about 2 years away from happening, and I was not home. It was so aggravating, because I remember that guy back at GE when he said, "I'm here, and my wife is in Atlanta." I felt like that guy. Like, my wife was home, like she was in Atlanta, and here I am always cleaning, so I never see her, and I didn't like that. I didn't want to be working so much that I wasn't seeing my family, and I felt like that. I felt like a stranger in my own house at times. So the money was good. It wasn't amazing, but we made good money, and I was working a ton, and I was also kind of ripping my body up, too. I wasn't really doing things well mechanically with how I cleaned. Lots of lessons I've learned. Oh, I can't wait to share some of these things to help you not make some of the same mistakes. I go to a conference. Dave Ramsey and some other guys I'd never heard of at that point. Seth Godin, Gary Vaynerchuk, which today, both those guys, I love their content. I went to this conference looking for something. And there's a tip there. If you go to a conference or open a book or get on a phone call with a coach and you're truly looking for something, you're going to put more effort into truly listening versus just trying to explain why things are the way they are, or what other people might call excuses. I was open-minded. And at this conference, yes, it was amazing. I learned a ton. But what I got from it was one person that I met. His name's Vincent. He's become a great friend of mine. I'm a part of his mastermind right now, Total Life Freedom. Definitely check out his show, Total Life Freedom Podcast. But Vincent was doing something different. He wasn't scaling his business. He was optimizing his business as a photographer. You know, he used to do photography many weekends, you know, weddings, sports photography, and he'd worked a lot. But he had figured out that you could charge a lot more than the average Joe. And he became a top-notch specialist for what he did in his area, and he made so much more than the average Joe that he was able to take a lot more weekends off of photography and do the things he wanted to do with his family. It was inspiring. I thought, what if I could do that with my cleaning business? Him and I started masterminding every single week. Gosh, all those times I was cleaning houses and we'd be on the phone for an hour, sometimes two, sometimes longer. We would just talk business stuff, mindset. I'd ask him questions. I would apply things. I was looking for something. He was doing the same thing. He would apply things he got from me and building out his next kind of level of his career, which has been pretty amazing since then. And for me, I was looking for what I could do, and I found it. This strategy eventually became known as my ISO model for solo cleaning, which stands for Initialize, Stabilize, Optimize. And I took my solo cleaning company, where I was working sometimes 6 days a week, many weeks five, up until 6-7 o'clock at night, never seeing my family, making $60,000 a year. And going from that place in 2017, I was now only working 2 days a week and still making about $55,000. So yeah, I took a $5,000 loss, but I cleared 3.5 days out of my week. And it was awesome. Here we are. I'm home, like with these 5 day weekends, and I'm cleaning 2 days a week, and everything opened. New opportunities opened. We started considering the idea of maybe we could sell off this business and start over and go back to our hometown. And that idea gained momentum quickly in the summer and fall of 2017. And again, I'll speed it up. Found an amazing man, Ian Trainer. Shout out to Ian, Albany Pure Cleaning, upstate New York. And Ian became the new owner of Carfagno Cleaning. Obviously, it wasn't called that anymore. It was his own business. And we sold that business, and it blew our minds that we could do something like this. We could run a solo cleaning business, optimize it without employees, make $55,000 a year on 2 days a week, and then sell it for close to six figures, move back to our hometown. We pinched ourselves. And we felt like things were on the right track. I was doing some coaching on the side. I started to help other solo cleaners, diving into other areas of accountability groups for cleaners, and just having a blast, enjoying time with my family. It was such a different place I was in. So I know that was a much quicker version of my story. I skipped a lot. You're probably curious how I was able to go from a cleaning business making $35 to $40 an hour, which is good, and working 5 and 6 days a week, to making over $80 to $120 an hour cleaning the same houses, right? And working 2 days a week and then selling that. Like, what was the change? Well, that change is called my ISO model. In July of 2018, we were brand new in Pennsylvania, seeing our family again with only minutes to drive instead of hours. It was awesome. The sale of the business was through. I was consulting Ian, helping him with the final pieces. I attended another conference, Podcast Movement. It was right there in my backyard in Philadelphia. I went. Vincent was going. He told me that I probably ought to check it out. And he's got a good track record of knowing which conferences to go to. And I believe it's important to attend conferences and network and meet people, because there is so much power. We'll talk about the power of network in future episodes. So I went. I went to Podcast Movement, and I saw a really cool vehicle for delivering a message to people. And it's through a podcast. There are so many people listening to them. And I personally have been listening to podcasts while I cleaned for the past couple of years, along with audiobooks. I would eat up stuff, literally, while I was cleaning. And I would learn, grow my mind while I worked. So I knew what podcasts were. I've been listening to them, but I never thought I'd ever make one for myself. And what would I do a podcast on? So the idea was kind of birthed right there, that maybe I should have a podcast. In the mastermind I was in, people would kind of push, like, Ken, start a podcast, help solo cleaners. You're the expert. Why not teach others to do what you've done? Help people. I said, that sounds like a great idea, but I don't know the first thing about starting a podcast. So a year later, I went back to Podcast Movement. This time I made a bigger commitment. I went to Orlando, Florida. I met gosh, 50 podcasters while I was there, and everyone told the same story of how their podcast would reach people they never thought possible that could be reached. Countries, downloads in countries all over the world, people emailing them, thanking them for helping them. I was blown away at how big of a loudspeaker I could actually have with a microphone on my desk, and realizing that at the sound of my voice, this could now reach potentially millions of people. So I want to use this to the best of my ability, and I don't want to take it for granted. Again, I don't take it lightly that I have you in front of me right now listening. So thank you again. So I took ownership of this decision, and that's how this podcast came to be. I knew the show would be for solo cleaners because that's what I am. I'm a solo cleaner. Yes, I'm a former engineer, and that's a benefit. I'm an engineer that became a solo cleaner so that I could take my engineering skills and optimize a business. And now I can take the model I've developed, the ISO model, and I can help you. Let me share the vision of the Solo Cleaning School. You're listening to the show. My guess is that you probably are female, and that's fine. And just from the statistics that I have seen, for instance, when I've gone to a cleaning conference, I was one of two men out of over 100. And when I'm on Facebook groups, I am one of a few men out of thousands. There are not many, especially in house cleaning. But I've also noticed that most of the cleaners, especially the solo cleaners, are moms. So not only are they women, but they're moms. So let me just share the vision here. Moms helping moms helping moms. The first group of moms are you. Many of the listeners to this show, my guess is that you're moms and you're doing something right now. So important. You're raising your kids. You might be a single mom, maybe a newly divorced mom, and you're just trying to find something to do to help your family. And you don't want to have to go back to corporate America, be a bank teller or a waitress at night, or go into a network marketing and have to sell jewelry or something like that. You want something that you could do that you're already good at. You've maybe even thought about cleaning, but wondered if you can make money with it. That's the first group of moms. I want to speak to you moms and have this show be an encouragement to you to show you that you can do this. Is it easy? No, it's not easy, but nothing worthwhile is easy, and I hope you agree with that. Is it simple? Yeah, it's simple. This is a business you can make some great money at part-time. We're talking $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a month part-time while you're being a mom. It allows you flexibility. So the first group of moms in my vision are you, the moms right now needing some money in a business of their own, and cleaning could be that business. And not only just cleaning, but solo cleaning. That means no employees. You just go work on your own schedule. You don't have to worry about hiring people. Just go do the work, come home. The second group of moms are also another big listener group for this show. They're the moms that are currently solo cleaning. There's so many out there doing the work, humbling themselves, doing whatever they need to take care of their families. Some of them have been doing this for a few months. Some of them have been doing this for 2 decades, sometimes 3 decades. There are so many amazing solo cleaning moms out there. And this is the second group of moms that I would love to be part of this vision. And when the first group of moms hears about the second group of moms, that's when magic can start to happen. Because these second group of moms, they become mentors to the newbies. The third group of moms are the moms like Emily and Alicia, who I'll share in a future episode, where Emily is a work from home mom and Alicia was a teacher at a local elementary school, and both of them were strapped for time. They didn't want to clean their own house. They needed to outsource that. And so they hire a cleaning company. But they don't know where to look. They don't know who to hire. The third group of moms is the moms like Alicia and Emily out there that need you. And they would much rather hire a mom trying to help their family, being mentored by another mom already doing it as a solo cleaner to help them. Moms helping moms helping moms. I'm not saying this is not for other people, because I totally believe there are millennials out there and dads and folks that are doing side hustles. They've got these big, passionate businesses that they want to build on the side like I did, but they're just not working and they just need something else they can do. Maybe they're going to consider this as a bridge. Maybe they can do this in the meantime, go make $2,000 to $5,000 a month part-time, quit their job, and then move into the dream business. There are so many different opportunities with the solo cleaning business. Just want to get across the main idea of this vision of moms helping moms helping moms. And I'm just very thankful that I can be in a position where I've accomplished something of significance in a business, and that business is a solo cleaning company. I know how to teach what I've done, and I have friends that I'm going to be bringing with me, audience members that I'm bringing with me to mentor, to help grow them, and to build a community around solo cleaning school. I'm not saying that solo cleaning is for everybody. It certainly is not. But this community growing stronger and stronger, episode by episode, class by class of the solo cleaning school can begin a movement of moms helping moms helping moms. And it doesn't have to be millions of people that are helped. If one person out there, one mom out there hears this message, starts their own solo cleaning business and changes their world, every second of this show was worth it to me. And that's extremely exciting to me to think about the ability to talk into the microphone and have a chance, just a sliver of a chance, to impact the worlds of moms around the world. That concludes the first episode of the Solo Cleaning School. Again, my name is Ken Carfagno. Thank you so much for allowing me to be your guide as you dive into the potential of growing a solo cleaning company for yourself and your family, or if you already run one, to help you grow yours to the next level. Thank you for investing your time with me here today. So join me on the next episode where we talk about moms helping moms helping moms, and I will be bringing the very first funny papers into the episode. I can't tell you what it's about, but it involves Saran Wrap. Until then, have a wonderful day. I look forward to talking to you on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to Solo Cleaning School. Are you auditing classes here? Why not subscribe and become a student? If you're a student benefiting from this school, please express your thanks with a rate and review. Now go and apply what you've learned. Class is dismissed.